Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Action International Ministries Uganda, and we thank the Lord that once again we have this opportunity to look to the Lord's Word together. We thank Him for the richness of His grace, the wonderful truth that He gives to us, that He gives us joy in His presence as we receive His Word by faith. And we trust that once again today, our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be lifted up and exalted and loved, and that we will find joy in His presence. We thank the Lord that we're continuing today in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And so, my friends, if you have your Bible available, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll soon begin there this morning in our verse-by-verse exposition of this wonderful book that God has given us. My friends, I would ask that you remember to pray this week for two of my fellow missionaries. One is named Jerry, and he's recently had a heart surgery in America. The second brother is named Mike, and as of today, this is a Tuesday, Mike will be recovering from a minor surgery here in the Kampala area, so please do remember to pray for these dear brothers in the Lord who serve the Lord faithfully with our mission, Action International Ministries, Uganda. I would ask you to also remember to pray for us often as the Lord brings our ministry to mind. Please intercede for us before the throne of grace. We are in great need of God's grace, and we trust that as you pray for us, God indeed will answer your prayer and give us grace. We ask that you also remember to pray often for ABC Radio, that this ministry would be a ministry blessed and marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that God, the Holy Spirit, would be pleased with the ministry, and that He will work through the ministry and continue to impact and touch many, many lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray often that God will bring salvation and sanctifying truth to the hearts of His people through the teaching ministry of ABC Radio and through the ministry of encouragement as Christian music, songs of praise, and good programming and help comes to the peoples of the Kampala area. My friends, let us now pray together. I'm excited once again to look to the book of Ephesians with you this morning. Father, I have joy in your presence, and I am excited because your word is so wonderful, and because your Spirit can surely reveal awesome and wonderful things to us through the Bible and from the precious text that we're going to look at this morning. We pray that you would be pleased to do that very thing once again, Lord, to reveal wonderful and awesome things about yourself and about your glorious plan for the church. Lord, we thank you for this precious book which has survived through the centuries because you have promised that your word will endure forever, that even when the earth and the heavens have passed away, yet your word will continue. Your truth is eternal. And so, God, bring it to us again this morning, we pray. Father, we thank you for Jerry and for Mike and for their hearts of love and service. And we pray for quick healing for our brothers, that they will both be physically strong and fit, that they will feel well soon. We pray for your mercy for their families, especially for their wives as they are undergoing this time of trial, having received this medical treatment and these surgeries. God, we thank you for the comforts that you bring to your people. And so comfort this group of missionaries that you have determined is to serve you here in Uganda. Lord, we pray for much comfort and strength and joy for those who serve you in the ministry of ABC Radio. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Work through them and come to speak through them, live through them, Lord, bring the thoughts of God through your people, the brothers and sisters who serve you in this ministry. And we thank you that as you do this, Jesus Christ is lifted up and proclaimed, and the gospel of peace and salvation comes to the people of Kampala. Bless that gospel, Lord. Bless it again as we bring it to the people today. Bless me as I seek to honor you and speak the truth and rightly divide the word of truth to bring good, right teaching. Lord, we rejoice in your manifold mercies, and we declare that you are the Lord of every nation, and the Lord of Uganda, that you are the God who is the Savior of all men, but particularly and especially the Savior of your chosen people. Lord, we rejoice in the redemption of Christ, that he has done something truly wonderful for us, and that the glorious mystery of salvation, the gospel, is brought to us so often by his Spirit. We take joy in that today, and we lift you up, our Father. We give you glory through Jesus, your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, let's continue this morning in the Westminster Shorter Catechism in question 103. There are 107 questions in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and so we have almost finished going through the entire Shorter Catechism. Question 103 reads like this: what do we pray for in the third petition? That's the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. That petition is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so what do we pray for when we bring this petition to God in prayer? The answer is given in the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. And so we find, my friends, that Matthew 6:10 brings this truth clearly before us, that we are to pray, and we pray that God, by his grace, would touch us, those who believe in him, in such a way that we would be able and willing to know, obey, and submit to him in all things. We find similar glorious truths in Psalm 67. That is, that we cry out that God's will be done in this world as it is surely and perfectly done in heaven. And we find in Psalm 119:36 a similar petition. There, David prays, "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." And so, the cry here is that David would seek God, that by his grace he would be faithful and true to God, obedient and submitted in the knowledge of God. We find in Matthew 26:39 a similar petition about the Lord's Prayer. This is a time in which Jesus himself prays, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." There we find that the Lord Jesus, a true human being, yet without sin, prays, asking as a human being, that God would grant his petition, that if it was possible, that he would not go to the cross. But as a true human being, offering perfect prayer, he also asks that not his will be done, that is, the will of a mere man, but that the will of the Father be done. In praying like this, Jesus teaches us to pray in accord with the will of God and in submission to the will of God. This is a most important point, my friends. The perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was submitted to the will of God, his Father. He did not insist upon his understanding or his will that he escape the cross, and this desire was not born from sin or from a corrupt nature, but this desire came from the hearts of the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desired not to die. Death is an enemy to humanity, and the perfect man recoiled from death. There is something that is a part of all of us in that we do not want to die, and the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, expresses this desire to his Father there in Matthew 26:39, but he adds, nevertheless, not what I want, I desire to be done, but what you want to be done, Father. May your will be done. And so, as we know God and as we obey God, another very important point, as we pray, we must be obedient to God. If we are disobedient to God, we actually hinder our prayers being answered. And so it is that we must be knowledgeable about God, we must know His will, we must be obedient to His will, and we must be submitted to His will in all things. Such a glorious truth, my friends. Don't forget this, that when you pray, pray in submission to the sovereign will of God. You make your petitions known to God, surely, but bring your petitions to God with this same attitude that the Lord Jesus Christ expresses, as we find it in Matthew 26:39, in submission to the will of God. That is the way that we must pray. And we find, my friends, in 2 Samuel 15:25, that the Word of God says, "And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation." Here again, we see the submission of King David to the will of God. His desire is expressed, but he is submitted to the will of God. And David too knows the truth that the Bible is clear about, and that is that we who are true believers often pray amiss. That is, that we do not pray because we do not understand the will of God, and we many times pray in a way that is contrary to the will of God because we are yet fallen creatures. Praise God, redeemed fully by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are indeed new creations, but there is a remaining part of us that is corrupt. And because there is this remaining corruption in us, we pray amiss. And so the Bible is clear that we bring our petitions to God in submission to the will of the Lord. And when we pray in a way that is not in accord with the will of God, then we must understand that God will not answer that petition. But we are to submit our petitions to God, asking that His will is done. We are also to pray, my friends, in the same spirit as we find in Job's prayer, in Job 1:21. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Again, wonderfully, we see Job's submission to the sovereign will of God. Job is not rejoicing that his family has been taken from him in death, that his possessions have been taken from him, that he has become diseased, but Job is, in this petition, calling out that God's will be done. And he observes astutely that the good that he had in his life, the blessings of family and possessions, came from God. And that now that these things have been taken from him and his family, that God has taken them away in his sovereign will. So that even in this time of great loss, Job is submitted to the will of God and by faith blesses the name of the Lord. This is such an important lesson to us in life, to always submit to the will of the blessed Lord and to declare that his name is blessed in all circumstances. Praise God. In Psalm 103, in verses 20 through 21, the Word of God says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers," that's servants of his, "that do his pleasure." Here we see that the angels in heaven always do the will of God. And so, in the third petition, there is also this asking for God's will to be done by man in this world. There is an asking for God to work in such a way in the lives of human beings that the will of the Father, which is perfectly done in heaven, is going to be done by human beings in the earth, just as the angels obey and love God and serve God perfectly in heaven. And so Jesus teaches us to pray that God's will is done and that we will submit to his will in all things. Praise the Lord. Well, my friends, we'll continue next Lord's Day, God willing, in question number 104 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Let us pray again, my dear friends. Lord Jesus, I am touched, I am struck by your wisdom. You teach us to pray, and you reveal to us in the text that we must cry out in submission to your will, and that as we know you by faith, and as we obey you by faith and love, and as we are submitted to your will, your great and sovereign will in all things, that we cry out, "Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." And so, Lord, our Father, we cry out, we pray that your will be done in our lives today, and that you will have your great and sovereign way in the lives of our family members, in our churches, in our communities, in this great city of Kampala, and throughout this country of Uganda. Have your way, O God, your good and perfect will. And we thank you once again for the word that will come to us now. Bless it to us, we pray, in the name of Jesus the Son. Amen and amen. Well, my friends, last Lord's Day, we aired a sermon that I preached some time ago about Thanksgiving. I hope that that was helpful to you. But this Lord's Day, we want to continue in the book of Ephesians, and let's begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7 this morning, and let's read through verse 12. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Amen. And we focused before, my friends, upon this glorious truth of redemption through the blood of Christ, as we find it there in verse 7. It is in Christ that we have redemption, through His very own blood. And this redemption is defined for us as the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. All sin, past, present, and future sin, is forgiven for those who are in Christ and who have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. This is in light of the riches of God's grace, this abounding grace, this infinite favor of God that comes to us sinners, though we do not deserve it. We can think of His rich grace as the very smile and blessing and saving love of God, which is poured out on those who are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Redemption, according to the riches of God's grace, this blessing, the forgiveness of sins, all the blessings of our salvation, this rich grace, abounding grace, comes to us, and it comes to us in all wisdom and understanding. The all-wise God gives us, the saints of God, all wisdom that we truly need. And as James teaches us, we are to cry out to God at all times for wisdom, because God is very liberal in giving His children wisdom. And so pray often for wisdom. Here, all wisdom, this speaks of the totality of wisdom that we need in regard to our redemption, our salvation, is given to us. All wisdom, all that's needed to make us wise unto salvation, God reveals to us in the Bible and by the Holy Ghost. And so this abounding grace also comes to us in all understanding. We come to understand God and His ways with us and His plan of salvation. Again, we are blessed with all understanding regarding spiritual truth. This is part of our great blessing that comes to us in our redemption. And in verse 9, we want to continue this morning to see that this wisdom and understanding comes to us and is made known to us, and the mystery of the will of God is revealed to us according to God's good pleasure. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will. Let's first define this term, the mystery of His will. And let's understand that Paul is really talking about the glorious truth that now that Jesus Christ has come into the world, He has been incarnated, He has preached, He has taught humanity the gospel, and in doing this, Jesus has revealed to us something that was previously hidden to us. He has opened our eyes to glorious truths which we could not and did not see before. Praise the Lord. So that in this use of the word mystery, Paul is referring to this action of God in which he opens up to us things that were not known before. And so it is that now that Jesus has come to redeem his people, God is pleased, notice there in verse 9 also that expression, according to his good pleasure, God is pleased to make known to the saints of God the mystery of his will. That which was before unknown to us has become known to us now in our redemption. And please note again that the Father is pleased to reveal this will, his will regarding us, the saints of God, and regarding our destiny, and regarding the truths of our salvation. Before we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sins, before we were born again by the abundant grace of God, we did not know these things. In fact, we did not know God. But God was pleased to reveal himself to us and to reveal to us his sovereign will, his plan for us. That is, he has been pleased to save us and to teach us in all wisdom and in all understanding. And God's good pleasure is that he teaches us and reveals to us his will about his purpose for us, which he has purposed in himself. This speaks of the glorious fact that God in himself has purposed to do something in the lives of his saints. He has purposed to accomplish something in the creation and existence of his church. And again, we simply rejoice that God has this purpose, and that this purpose is from himself. It's here described as being in himself. This speaks of the fact that God has a great purpose for his church in his heart, deep in his existence, in his being. God desires something for his church. He has a great purpose which he has set in motion. And God is pleased to reveal to us this purpose. It was before hidden to us. We didn't understand it. But in the fullness of time, it has come to light, and we have come to understand more about the purpose of God. Now, my friends, there is an aspect of this mystery of God's will that we want to make quick note about. All that is necessary for our wisdom and prudence, our understanding about God and salvation, is given to us. God withholds nothing that is necessary so that we have all wisdom and good understanding regarding that. But there is much about God, because he is an infinite and glorious God, that we human beings don't know about. One of the joys of heaven is that we will continue to grow in the knowledge of God forever and ever, for eternity. And because he is an infinite God, we will never find out all that can be known about him. We will enjoy an ever-growing knowledge of God. And so in that sense, he will be always revealing himself in his glory and the glory of salvation to us. In this age, there is an aspect of mystery, however, in that there is much about God that we don't know. We grow in the knowledge and the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but there remains much about God, because He is infinite, that we do not know. I'm personally excited and encouraged by this truth. There is much about my Father that I don't yet know, but I will come to know more and more about Him, and I will have a growing knowledge of God and therefore enjoyment of God, and that for eternity. As my knowledge of God grows, so I believe my joy in His presence will also grow. Another aspect that we want to take quick note about the mystery of God's will, is that we see in the Bible that at various times or in various dispensations, God has been pleased to bring revelation about Himself and about His plan for His saved people. And so, wonderfully, God, at some point in the past, soon after the creation, I believe, in fact, He created Adam for fellowship with Himself, and immediately at Adam's creation, I believe, God started to teach Adam, to reveal wonderful things about Himself. And I believe that the Bible is quite clear that because God is a revealing God, a God who makes Himself known to human beings, that through human history, God has purposely done that very thing. He has come to selected individuals and He has revealed Himself. He has given manifestations of Himself to individuals. And at times in human history, He has given revelation about Himself to peoples. He revealed Himself, for instance, to Abraham, the individual, and then He later revealed Himself to Israel, the nation. And then He revealed Himself to the world. He is at work in His good purpose of revealing His nature to the world through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of Christ, and by the gospel. And so we see that at various dispensations in the past, God revealed Himself, and I believe that we can see that this revelation of God, this manifestation of God to humanity, has become bigger and clearer as time has proceeded. We are getting more knowledge of God. God has been at work to reveal Himself to us. And He's continuing to do that, to reveal Himself to more people as time goes on. He is revealing more about Himself to, I believe, to more people as time goes on in this glorious gospel that I am preaching today from the text in Ephesians chapter 1. And so in God's good purpose, at certain times He has been pleased to reveal Himself in just the right measure to individuals or nations. And my friends, take great confidence and joy in this glorious fact this morning. God is surely revealing Himself to you in just the right measure also. He is doing that also for me. God's manifestation for Himself is perfect because God always does what He does in a perfect fashion. The perfect God always acts perfectly. And so, dear Christian, dear saint, in your heart of hearts, you long for a manifestation of Christ, of God. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want to see Jesus. You want to meet with Him through His Spirit, by His truth. And rest assured, God's revealing Himself to you is perfect at this time. He knows exactly what to show you about Himself at exactly the right time. Praise God. The all-wise God is always perfectly fulfilling His purpose and plan in this self-disclosure or this revelation of Himself to individuals and to humanity. He was pleased to make known the mystery of His will at various times in the past. He is pleased to reveal the mystery of His will now. He was pleased to reveal the mystery of His will in the fullness of the coming of His Son and in the gospel declaration. And He will be pleased to reveal the mystery of His will in the future, my friends. The Father takes good pleasure to do this, we find there in our text. He wants to show His children what His good purpose is for them and in the creation. So that verse 10 tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. We're going to talk a bit more about this in just a few minutes, I trust, but we want to go back very quickly to verse 7 and just share a bit more about redemption. Again, our redemption through the blood of Christ has opened up this mystery of God's will to us. God's purpose is made known to us, and we're going to see more about that great purpose in verse 10. But in the glory of redemption, my friends, we've said recently that the Bible is clear that there is an aspect of the redemption which we call the limited or particular atonement. And that means simply that Jesus Christ came to bleed and to die for individuals. He didn't come into this world to make salvation possible, but He came to redeem certain selected people. These are the elect of God. And we said that John 17:9 speaks of this. There the Word of God says, I pray for them, the elect. I pray not for the world, but for them whom Thou hast given Me. The Father has given this people, the elect, to the Son. And so it is we see that Jesus saves the elect, His people, from their sins. We understand that Jesus bled to save the elect. There is another aspect of the redemption that we want to talk about very briefly, though, because it reflects for the glory of God the great mercy, the infinite mercy of God the Father. And we can think about this aspect of the atonement as the general atonement. A great Christian teacher by the name of Matthew Henry, has stated this very clearly and in simple language. And so here, let me read his comments from his commentary on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He writes, God is the general Savior of all men, as He has put them into a salvable state. But He is in a particular manner the Savior of true believers. There is then a general and a specific redemption. And so according to Matthew Henry's thoughts, which are based upon 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, which I want to read for you right now, it says, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. This verse reveals to us the infinite mercy or the goodness of God, or if you will, in a sense, the general benevolence or love of God that He expresses to mankind in general, to every human being. Jesus Christ is the Savior to all men in this regard. All mercy comes from the Father through the man, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fountain or the source of God's mercy, benevolence, love, and goodness. And so think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the great person of God from whom mercy streams out. And the mercy streams out upon humanity in this general sense because of the nature of Christ Jesus. He is the eternal Son of God, and because He is also the man, Jesus Christ, who was crucified. Christ was crucified. And in His sufferings, in His becoming a human being to suffer and die for us, He brings this general redemption to all humanity. Mercy streams forth from God upon humanity. And let me add that I believe that all mercy God has ever shown humanity since the beginning, since creation, has come to us by virtue of the cross. Because Jesus came to redeem humanity in this general sense, there is sweet mercy for mankind. And the mercy that comes to us in this general sense is also an abundant mercy. God touches every human being that He creates through the cross in this general sense. Now, this is not a saving sense. This is an aspect that we can think of as being described as general grace. It streams forth because the Son of God was incarnated. He came into this world. He suffered for human beings. He was crucified and He is lifted up on the cross. And so general grace, common grace we call it, a theological term, comes to all humanity. All good comes to humanity. And by the virtue of the cross, any mercy and all mercy that a human being experiences is to be found through the cross. Mercy comes to mankind. So it is that Jesus Christ, Him crucified, is the source of mercy. Our text here in 1 Timothy 4:10 speaks about this. He is the Savior of all men, in that He is the one who brings mercy to all men. And He is especially the Savior of those who believe. That is, He is God the saving Son who brings to us saving grace. We see both aspects of the atonement very clearly in this verse. General redemption. He is the Savior of all men, the one who brings mercy to all men. The one who, because He became a man who suffered for men, makes salvation possible for humanity, but the one who particularly came to bleed and die for the elect of God. There, those especially who believe. And I believe, my friends, that we see in these two aspects of redemption, for the glory of God, His great heart of mercy. And we can simply define mercy this morning as God's meeting human need. God from heaven has always met the needs of humanity. And God has met the need of salvation for His elect children. And so we want to understand the bigness, of God's mercy and of His goodness. And in this we also see God's true offer of salvation to every human being through the gospel. Jesus bled particularly for the elect, but God genuinely offers salvation through the gospel of His crucified and risen Son to all human beings. In fact, God is so merciful that He commands the church to declare His mercy, His gospel, to every human being, to all creatures. And so the church has this tremendously huge task of bringing God's genuine, true offer of salvation and mercy to every human being in every generation. Pray, my friends, that the church in our generation will be faithful to this huge task of evangelizing the world, that we are required by God to bring truth to the nations, to the peoples of the world. And so we rejoice in the mercy of God. We want to comment too that Jesus achieves both aspects of redemption, general redemption and particular redemption, and that His blood is shed in the very clear and precise purpose, according to Scripture, of covering the sins of the chosen ones. He achieves an expression of mercy to humanity in a general sense. And He achieves saving mercy or eternal salvation through His blood, which is given as a covering particularly for the elect of God. And so again, we are brought to the glorious cross, and we are brought to see the loving, true man, Jesus Christ, who offers Himself to the world of mankind. That God so loved the world, and He so loved particular individuals, fallen human beings in this vast ocean of humanity, that He sent His Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. The elect of God, those who are holy and beloved, come to know of our election because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. Our conscience is purified of sin. That sinful, noisy, boisterous, screaming conscience, a guilty conscience, is calmed and quieted. We are assured that our sin is forgiven through the blood of Christ, that He died for us, the individuals that we are, that He loved us, that we are indeed the elect of God, and so by we make our election and our calling sure. Amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, we rejoice in both aspects of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I must share with you that I believe that the aspect of particular redemption brings God the highest glory. And we want to focus again there, because it is those that are particularly redeemed that are the sons of God. And it is the sons of God, the church, that is the topic of our text here this morning once again. Ephesians is bringing glorious truth about the church. It is the Father's good pleasure to save the church. Jesus bled for us, a particular people. Amen. The atonement is definite. It is not questionable. It is not indefinite for the elect of God. And when our lives end, and when human history comes to its conclusion, and when all people are gathered before God at the last great day, my friends, we will know with absolute clarity that we who are saved were redeemed definitely in the purpose of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed definitely for us, particularly for us. And we will give Him glory that it was the Father's will to apply the blood of His Son to us, particularly the elect of God. I think you see what I'm getting at here. This is God's greatest and glorious purpose. To save the elect is a wonderful and glorious aspect of the purpose of God, which is being revealed to us. It is glorious that He shows mercy to all, but I believe He has more glorious in the particular redemption of His people. And eternally, He will be glorified through the praises of these who are particularly redeemed. When those who have received general redemption, mercy from God, are yet lost in their sins by unbelief, because of unbelief, then the elect of God will yet praise God and give Him glory, because the blood of Jesus Christ was willfully by God applied to us, and applied to us alone. Let's continue now, having made that clear about redemption, in verse 10, that this mystery of God's will, which is revealed to us, the purpose of God, has come to us in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. The idea here is that the glorious redemption of Christ, which is applied to the elect, is something that is enjoyed in the present, because we are believers in God now, we have come to believe in Him, and it will also be enjoyed more perfectly and fully in glory. He is now, my friends, the head of His church, the head of His redeemed people, who have also become the adopted sons of God, or His kinsmen, His brothers in this sense. He now serves as the head of His church. And now, in the present time, in the present dispensation, that is a word which simply means age for our purpose, at this time, God has been pleased to reveal His will to the church. And so it is that redemption has come to us in our time, and it will yet come to us in its blessings, which we will enjoy in the future. In the future. Now, it's interesting to note that in verse 10, there is this element of future blessing which dominates, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. This speaks of a future time in which God is going to gather together in one all things in Christ. He is our Redeemer. We enjoy Him. We are saved. We are now seated in the heavenly places in Christ. But in the future, in eternal glory, when God has saved all of His elect people, each individual that Jesus bled for, when God has finished gathering together in one body all things in Christ, that is, all angels and all redeemed human beings, both those who are presently in heaven and those who are presently on earth there, if you can continue reading in verse 10 with me. All in Christ shall be gathered together. Then, in the fullness of the times, we shall enjoy this glorious redemption of Christ, in fullest measure. And so this speaks of the work that God has purposed and He is fulfilling. He has created all things to redeem His sons from our sins and to gather us, all of His redeemed through human history, to Himself in Christ Jesus. Well, my friends, our time is going now, but let's continue next Lord's Day as we see this glorious plan of God. We'll continue in verse 10 and talk a bit more about that as God purposes. Join me in prayer now, please. Father, Your plan is wonderful. My heart is filled with grace and peace and joy, and I pray that my friends' hearts too will be filled with grace, peace, and joy. Such marvelous truths. God, You have spoken to us from the highest heaven. We thank You for these wonderful truths of our redemption, of the mystery of Your will, which we have come to understand and which we will more fully understand in eternity, of Your purpose and good pleasure to reveal these glorious things to us, that You have a great plan for us and for Your creation to redeem the sons of God, those that Jesus bled to save. God, we thank You that there is a general redemption, mercy for all human beings, and a genuine offer of the gospel to every human being. And there is also this great saving act of the application of the blood of the Son to the elect, particular redemption. God, You are ever faithful. You have given us all wisdom and understanding about Yourself. All that we must know, You have given us. There is nothing lacking in our knowledge of You in this regard. Yet it is true that we will learn more and more and more about You, the great infinite God, forever and ever. Amen. And so gather Your people to Yourself in Christ and save Your people, even those who are listening today. For the glory of King Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And so until next Lord's Day, my friends, may the Lord of glory richly bless you. Amen.